John Merzars.
All right, John, and we were talking just a little bit ago, and you started to tell me something about your teeth, or a question about your teeth. What was that?
Yes. I got a half tooth. Half of it's fake, half of it's real, and I want to know if it's going to die, if the real tooth is going to die soon.
Okay. Is it turning colors?
Nothing yet.
Okay. So are you saying that, okay, show me. Let's see. Let's go into the light. Oh, I see what you're talking about. Okay. Okay, it's your front tooth, and you broke it. I'm going to guess when you broke it, you were 9 years old.
No. I broke it about 6 months ago.
Okay, and you're how old now?
24.
So I'm off by about 13 years.
You're
okay. Okay. All right. So the question is it going to die?
Yes.
Chances are not. You know why?
No, I don't know why. That's why I'm asking you.
Because it broke. So if it hadn't broken, if you had just gotten it hit and it absorbed the entire blow, that could have caused pulpitis, irreversible pulpitis. The tooth could have died. But because it broke, most of the force went on beyond the tooth. You know what I mean? So, like, the nerve didn't absorb the entire blow.
Right. Okay. So you're telling me, I mean, I hit the ground. I hit the ground, and that's what broke my tooth. So you're telling me that the force was... The blow was taken from somewhere else, or, like, absorbed by the gums or something, or...
Well, no, when your tooth broke, some of the force went on by. So here, I know this is radio, so your listeners can't see this, but if I go to... what I'm going to do is I'm going to, like, pretend I'm going to punch John, right? I'm going to punch John, and if I go to punch him, and I just kind of graze off his shoulder, most of the force of my punch went on behind you. Not to you, right?
Right.
Okay. On the other hand, if I don't miss, if I'm not going to really hit you, but if I were to pretend to and I go to like this and I don't miss, you absorb right there the entire force of the blow.
So you're saying my tooth should be okay there?
Yeah, most likely. Now, it can still die, but most likely you have a better chance of it living if it broke than you would have if it hadn't broken.
Awesome. Awesome. That's the best words I've ever heard, because I expect it to die. I expected it back, so...
Okay, yeah.
Best words I've ever heard.
Great. Okay, hey, thanks for talking to me.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Have a good time at the race. This is Saturday, and I'm sorry, this is Friday, so we had the Bush, the Nationwide race tonight.
Nationwide today.
And then tomorrow. Cup race, and you root for?
Matt Kenseth.
He's got a pretty good smile, huh?
Yes, number 17 to all four fusion.
All right, John, thank you very much. Take care now. All right, so... And hopefully that was understandable as far as the force and all of that. But it is true now, and if you do have a front tooth broken from bumping it or something, it's the tooth next to it or the one on either side that you have to worry more about breaking than the one that actually, I mean, more about dying than the one that actually broke. So remember that. Okay, now I do want people to know that this show is available by podcast at www.am1230wyts.com. When you go there, the homepage of the station is up, and on the one of the buttons says On Air. I believe that's right next to Home. Anyway, hold your mouse over that, drop-down box appears, choose Dr. Kvitko, takes you to my page, and on that, in blue lettering, it says, click here for podcasting, and you can go there and listen to any of the previous shows that we've done. And this show would be available probably within a day or two after we go off the air. So if you miss something or you have a friend or family member that you would like to be able to listen to the show, feel free to go to the website. Okay. The other thing is I want you to know that you can follow me on Twitter. It's www.twitter.com/Dr. Kvitko, and that's DrKvitko. So feel free to follow me. I don't know that it's all that interesting. I just talk about, well, I don't know how many sedations I've done that day or the kind of things that we did and a little bit of things that I do on the weekend. So, all right, and then... before we go to break, I want to give out a guest that we've received by phone for our question of the day. So, Taylor called in and said that he guesses only 1% of dentists nationwide use deep sedation on their patients. And, Taylor, that's not correct. A little bit low, but thank you so much. And We'll take your guesses, other guesses, by phone at 821-1230 or emailed at dentallyspeaking on am1230@yahoo.com. Okay, so when we come back after the break, we are going to continue listening to these interviews from the Chicagoland Speedway in Joliet, Illinois, and we'll get some other folks' insight into dentistry as they see it and questions that they have had. And so stick with us, because I think we had some good questions coming up. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back. Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thanks so much for joining me. We're doing Peep Across America interviews today. We're listening to interviews that I've done as during my travels. Today, the interviews are from Chicagoland Speedway in Joliet, Illinois, at a NASCAR race. And we have, actually, I was able to interview a group of people. This is sitting around a campfire, as people do at the campground. And basically, it starts off with a gentleman asking me if anyone has ever bitten me, and it continues from there. So let's go ahead and listen in. All right, so we're still at Chicagoland Speedway, and we're talking to some folks here about their teeth. And you had a question. It's Jim, right?
Yeah, Jimmy Bridges.
Okay. All right, Jimmy. So, Jimmy, you were going to ask me a question. I said, let's hold it until we do it on air. So, go ahead and ask. What was your question?
I was wondering if anybody ever bit you while you was doing dental work.
Why do you think they'd want to bite me?
Well, I don't know. It's just one of them questions where that you never get to ask a dentist.
Well, no, that's true. No one's ever bitten me. Here, look, I got five fingers there. I got five fingers there, so I'm good, right? Actually, I've had a couple close calls, but I just wasn't paying attention. And the way I avoid getting bitten is to kind of keep my fingers out of the way. And then we also have these mouth props that we can use in cases when they're sedated. When was the last time you were at your dentist? I'm just curious.
Oh, I don't want to lie to you. It's been a while.
How come?
Well, when I was a little kid, I had a dentist that did a filling on me that used no Novocaine or anything.
And why was that?
I don't know. And I've always been scared of dentists since then.
Did he not like you, or was he just a mean guy? Or well, wait a minute. What would you say?
I can't remember his name. You know, I was... But he just put the fear in me for dentist, and it's kind of like you go to a dentist, you're going to hurt, you know.
Well, actually, that's not true anymore. And one of the reasons I do this show is to explain to people that it's not the case. One way you can have dentistry done more comfortably is with some sedation, like either laughing gas or oral sedation or intravenous sedation. In fact, what's today? Today's Friday? Yeah. Yesterday, at my office, I did three people under intravenous sedation and one under oral sedation. So all these people that haven't been in a while, that are nervous, they can come in and get their care and not care.
What is intravenous?
Needle, baby, needle.
Yeah, that's where I put a needle in their arm, you know, the intravenous, the IV bag that drips in, and we put the drugs in there and monitor them on an EKG machine, and it just kind of puts them in la-la land.
Do you do that mostly with older people, or no?
All ages, actually. We do sedation on kids, you know, three-year-olds and so on, and anyone that needs it.
Okay, so it doesn't matter age group.
Nope. If somebody's so nervous that they think they need it, I consider that a reason to give it to them, you know?
Do they have to ask for it, or do you just give it to them because you think they need it?
When we have our first meeting and we do our consultations, they're telling me how nervous they are, and when I'm hearing things about, like a story you just told about, you know, being hurt by your dentist and now you haven't been in a while, I can put two and two together, and I know I've got someone that's maybe developed a little bit of a phobia, so I will offer it to you. I'll say, you know, I can sedate you. Do you think you want to try that? It might be better than you remember.
Is that standard protocol with most of dentists now, or no?
No, unfortunately, it's not. You have to have a special permit to do the intravenous sedation, and the oral sedation is somewhat limited without special training also, and so a lot of dentists just still don't do it. But I think it's a great thing, and for somebody like yourself, it might get your foot back in the door, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If I knew I'm not going to hurt, I'll definitely come. You know, I think that's with anybody.
Yeah, and what percent of people do you think don't go to the dentist on a regular basis in this country? And there's a couple of... Anybody want to guess? I know there's like...
70%.
Wait a minute, what was it?
70%.
Okay, and what do you guys think?
I'm going to say 80%.
And?
We're going to go 60%.
60%? All right. The answer is actually 40% don't go, but that's still a high number when you think about it. I mean, that's almost half the people in this country don't go on a regular basis, and you're one of them, Jimmy. And we're trying to change that. So now let's see. I forgot it was Rocky, right?
Yeah.
You go by Rocky, and I'm trying to remember. Was it a question? What were we talking about earlier?
I was talking about when they put the black in my mouth, that it felt like I had a football stuck in my mouth instead of a small block, because the dentist was worried about me biting. Because I am a little excitable, but the dentist I have now, he shakes me to make sure I'm alive, because I get so steel on him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you are maybe the opposite of Jimmy. You get real stoic when you're nervous.
Yeah.
You're just as nervous, but you just kind of sit there like
yeah.
You're dead?
I'm not going to move around when he's got utensils in my mouth.
Yeah, well, that's probably a good idea.
And this dentist I have now, he's very good, but the one prior that put the big black in my mouth, these are all composites.
You know that word. I'm impressed that you know that word.
Yeah, because most of my teeth inside are all composites now, because I'm older.
Well, and a composite is a tooth-colored filling, and that's usually what people call them, white fillings, but she knows the word composite, so that's good.
Yeah, so they're all, you know, they're all composites and stuff, and it's not because of beauty or anything, it's just that's how he does it. And I said, to the point, I get so still and go into Zen mode that he has to shake me to make sure I'm still alive.
Wow. Now, he uses the block so you don't bite him because
No, not this one. The other one did when he did these front ones.
Oh. So what's changed that now you're stoic? Is he more gentle than your previous
yes.
dentist?
Yes. Yes. He tells you to, if you're in pain, raise your left hand.
Yeah.
And so that's, and you can tell, and another, you can sort of tell, sometimes I watch his eyes, even though I always wear my sunglasses. And another tip for dentists, just to give you a little tip that works for me, is because the light is so bright,
yeah.
just have people or have them available, dark glasses.
The glasses or those things that people sleep in, the blinders like?
The blinders or just have, you know, I always wear my sunglasses in. It makes it, the light's not in your eyes and it makes you less nervous.
Yeah, we do it for kids. We could do it for adults.
Yeah, I mean, it really, if you got an adult who is panicky and stuff, and like you said, you seem to be able to read people very well, that dark glasses help. Because when they see that light come down, they start to panic.
Okay. Well, that's actually...
suggestion.
No, that's actually good. We should probably get other suggestions from folks as to how we can make their visits better, right?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, if I lived over there where you lived, I would definitely look you up and you'd be my dentist.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say. Appreciate that. If you ever
not
come through...
your butt or nothing.
No,
but, I'm just saying, you seem like a very decent person who actually cares.
Well, I do, and that's... I think that's nice of you to notice.
Yeah. Right at the first, I noticed.
Well, good.
Pretty good judge of people.
Yeah, and I have to agree, and I'm not, you know, because... there are practitioners that just kind of show up. They go and they just put in their time and they go home. And maybe that's the one that Jimmy had or your previous dentist
yeah.
that they didn't really take the extra time that people need and deserve. And let's face it, back in the 60s, there weren't enough dentists to go around, so you kind of were stuck with the bad one sometimes.
Let me ask one other question.
Sure.
That one dentist that fixed the front of these teeth and stuff, he turned me on my head. Is that normal?
He turned you on your head. What do you mean?
That the chair I was in, instead of being tilted back, the table would actually turn down so my head was in his lap. Is that normal?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Some dentists like to work, they call it rear delivery, where they sit behind you. instead of
beside. He sat behind me and like turned me on my head.
Yeah, he tipped you way back so that he could see better.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if he was a pervert or not.
I don't know, but I'm thinking you don't have to be to work on somebody that way.
Yeah, I apologize for that. Edit that out, please.
Oh, no, that's okay. All right, well, hey, thanks for talking to me.
No problem. Thanks for the witness.
Okay.
I can tell him I'm not 5 years old. I'm 48.
48, okay. Yeah, she's 48 years old. Why, do you get told that you sound like a kid or something?
Yeah, I have to. They asked me if my mother's going with me on the plane.
Wow. Huh. That's interesting. I guess some people have young-sounding voices and some have older-sounding voices than they are, huh?
Yeah, I sound like a little squeaky squirrel.
Okay. So I think I'm going to ask some other people if they have suggestions on how we can make the appointments more pleasant.
So hear me when I'm saying, smiling faces sometimes.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking. You're listening with Dr. Kvitkotz, who Peep Across America interviews. And we want to get right back to it, but I just wanted to comment on the, I forget that woman's name, who said that she sounds like a child. She said she's 48 years old. I had a patient two days ago who was in and told his buddy he was going to the dentist. The buddy said, who you go to? And he told him Dr. Kvitko, and he goes, is he gay? I guess he thought because I have a soft voice that I was gay. So, not that there's anything wrong with that, to quote Ellen, but no, I'm not. And so it was the first time I'd ever been told that that was a consideration. Okay, we want to get right back to the interviews. This is, again, Joliet, Illinois, Chicagoland Speedway. Group of people sitting around a fire pit. So let's listen.
I have one more question.
All right, what's that?
If 40% of the people doesn't go to the dentist on a regular basis, why would you go into the dentistry field?
Well, actually, the way I got interested in dentistry, my own personal story, is that what you're thinking?
Yes.
Okay. My personal story is this. I always loved science and math, and I knew I wanted to do something in the medical field, and I had been... My family doctor said, if you ever want to, you know, talk to me about what it's like to be a doctor, just let me know and I'll stay late some night. And I said, okay, so that sounds good. So we set up a time, and after his nurse left and everybody left, it was just him and I. And the first words out of his mouth were, you don't want to be a doctor, you should be a dentist. And I said, what? And he said, yeah. He goes, you know, the hours and the hassles and, you know, these nurses are overpriced. And he just wasn't happy, I guess. And so he was trying to persuade me not to be a physician. Well, I just let it go in one ear and out the other because I just figured it was just this one guy. So about 6 months later, I think it was my brother's graduation party, my sister's husband was over. The whole family was, and he's a physician, he was a radiologist, he was a resident in radiology, and we were camping, actually. It was at a campground, Roundup Lake in Mantaway, Ohio, and we just happened to be standing around, you know, how you hold your plate, and you just start to talk to people, and it's just him and I over at the corner of the camper, and he said, you don't want to be a doctor, why don't you be a dentist? And he didn't know about the other guy telling me that.
Karma.
And something like that. And I thought, well, you know, wait a minute. There must be something to this. Maybe I should check, you know, that maybe I should look into it. So I decided to see what I could do to find out more about dentistry. I was going to Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland at the time. And between the fall semester and the spring semester, they have about 6 weeks. Pretty long Christmas break, and they call it intercession. And you can take about, I think it was a 3 or 4 week course during intercession. One of them was, I think they called it Introduction to Dentistry or something like that. And it was a chance to find out what it might be like to be a dentist. It was, what they did is they paired us up with a dental student. So I went to lectures with a dental student. I went to the cadaver lab, you know, and saw dead bodies on tables for the first time. I went to a private dental office and observed him. I volunteered at the free clinic in Cleveland. My wife came too. And I just discovered that it was, like, really neat, you know? Just, you know, let's face it. When you go to your physician, you just want to talk about your problem. My elbow hurts. I have a sore throat. Has anybody ever asked their physician how he or she felt when you went for your visit? Anybody?
I can tell by the way they look.
You can tell by the way they look?
Yeah. If they don't feel good or something.
So if... But do you ask them? If they...
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. So... Most people, I don't think, do. And but as a dentist, people come every 6 months, those that come, and I know you don't yet, and they're not in pain. They're just coming for a cleaning, maybe an exam. And so we get to know them as people, and we get to be friends with them. And so when I see my patients every 6 months, it's like seeing old friends. How are the kids? How was your vacation, you know? Last I heard you were going to Disney World or something. And... I just enjoy it. Now, my father said something like, you know, you're never going to have to worry about having enough business because basically a lot of people don't brush like they should. They don't floss like they should. They eat the wrong foods. There's enough lazy people out there, I guess, to keep us busy. But there's one more thing, and that is I look at, if you can hear that in the background, we have some celebrating, some fireworks going on. I look at it this way. Even if there were already too many dentists, if somebody said, don't go into dentistry because there's way too many, my opinion would be this. If you're the best at what you do, there's room for you. There's always room for one more, right? If you're the best, right?
You said if we brush and floss like we're supposed to, you'd be without a job, correct?
Dentistry is one of the few professions that's been trying to put itself out of business for a lot of years, and, you know, we're having some success because the decay rate actually went down, but there's still gum disease. I mean, if you brushed and flossed and you were and you ate everything you're supposed to and you had fluoride, there's a good chance that you wouldn't need us, but you still need professional cleanings because you can't get some of those nooks and crannies. So what happens is what we do changes. So rather than filling a bunch of cavities like we used to do, now we're doing whitening and veneers and, you know, cosmetic makeovers and composites in front teeth, right, like you have. So... I don't feel like I'm ever in danger of not having a job. I just think my job will change a little bit over time.
How long have you been a dentist?
Just over 29 years.
Oh, okay. So you've been doing it for quite some time.
Yeah, they call it a practice, so I'm still practicing. One of these days, I might actually figure it out.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to ask you. Why is it that everybody that has doctor before their name, they say they are practicing?
Well, lawyers call their business a practice too, right? The practice of law?
That's true.
Well, but here's the thing. I come in and I have a cavity in a tooth. You fix it. You're not practicing. You know what you're doing.
Well, you're right, and I'm not sure why it's called a practice other than, here would be my guess. My guess is that we know when we finish dental school or medical school or law school that it's not the end, it's the beginning of a lifetime of learning. So we have to continually learn new techniques, new literature, new findings, and most of what I do today I did not learn in dental school, and I think that's probably it.
Yeah, but be honest, though, what you're actually learning in today's time is people wanting their teeth to look white without them having to do the work to make them white. They want you to make them look good instead of them doing what they're supposed to make them look good.
Well... yes and no. I mean, you can brush and floss all you want. Your teeth will still stay at that color yellow that they are if you have, if you're more than, say, 18. I mean, over time, little bits of food and drink that we take in, like little bits of Cheetos and grape juice and wine and coffee and all that, little bits get stay behind. So, go ahead. What's your question?
I work with a guy that has the whitest teeth I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
But he drinks coffee, tea, pop with a straw.
Because he doesn't want his teeth to get dark?
Right. And he brushes like 10 times a day. And he has the whitest teeth I've ever seen. But he doesn't want anything to touch his teeth to stain it.
Well, some people get a little bit carried away, and even if they get stained, they can be bleached out. Maybe you should tell him that so that he's not quite so paranoid.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't tell a man like that, but getting back to the practice thing, I hear these doctors all the time telling me, and I'm going to get on a soapbox a little bit.
That's okay. That's okay. You know what? Let's do that after we come back from the commercial, okay? So hold your question for a second, and when we come back, we'll get to it. Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Today we're doing Teeth Across America interviews, and I thought we had some great questions, some great comments, some things that were very candid. Questions about, you know, have I ever been bitten, and why did I want to be a dentist? If everybody started brushing their teeth, we wouldn't need dentists. I'm sure those are the kinds of things that are on a lot of people's mind. And so, you know, we just... are more than willing to answer those kinds of questions. If you have any questions like that, feel free to give us a call at 821-1230. Dentally speaking on am1230@yahoo.com is our email address. And one thing I hadn't mentioned is the fact that the show is also available on iTunes. And to download podcasts of the show through iTunes, all you need to do is... go to iTunes and search under Dentally Speaking, or you can search under Dr. Kvitko. All right, so that'll be your way of finding the show and maybe being able to listen to it in a way that is easier than sitting at your computer and listening. Now, the Teeth Across America is something that, I don't know, I just really enjoy, and I also enjoy when people, you know, pick up the phone and call the show, so that we can get those kinds of questions answered and get those concerns dealt with, because you may know that what I'm trying to do is get the get those of you, those 40% of people that don't go to a dentist on a regular basis, to pick up the phone and give us a call and get going. So we'll be right back after the break. Smile, a little smile for me, Rosemary. Welcome back to Dentally Speaking. You're here with Dr. Kvitko, and we take dental questions, talk about everything dental. And today's show, we were talking about teeth with people across America, in this case, Joliet, Illinois, at the Chicagoland Speedway. Nice group of folks. And actually, as you may have noticed, they have more questions that I was able to stay and answer, and we'll be able to hear the rest of that interview at another show somewhere at some point in the future. But for now, I want to make sure that we wrap up today's show by making sure that we cover today's question of the day, Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, and talk about the guesses that came in and give out the answer. All right, so the question of the day, you might remember, was, according to the American Dental Association, what percent of dentists use deep sedation on their patients? And we talked a little bit about the sedation options with our folks that we did our interviews with today. And Brad emailed us a guess of 10%, and Beverly called in her guess of 5%, and Barry, he sent in a guess of 3%. So those answers are not correct, but very close, because the answer to that question of the day is 7.1%. Yeah, 7.1% of dentists do deep sedation. So I thought that was very interesting. As you know, I'm one of them. And by the way, 7.9% do general anesthesia, 12.4% do moderate IV sedation, and 28% do moderate oral sedation. Thanks so much for joining me. Please tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. We'll be right back here on AM 1230 WYTS.